Epistle for the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. It's taken from that of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was by nature God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking the nature of a slave and being made like unto men. He appeared in the form of man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore God also exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. The gospel is taken from that, according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself." Now he said this, signifying by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ abides forever. And how can you say the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Yet a little while, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." These are the words of Christ in today's Gospel. "If I be lifted up, I will draw all things unto myself." Let's consider the Catechism and what it says about us. Why we were created. For two reasons. We were created for two reasons. The first is to give glory to God, and the second is to share with Him in this glory. God made us that He can show forth His goodness in us, and then that we can share with Him in the everlasting happiness of heaven. To glorify God, then, is one of the reasons we're created, to give glory to God. And there's two ways we can do this. We can do this, first of all, by the fact that we exist at all. Each one of us exists, and in existing, we give glory to God. Just in the fact that He has created us, body and soul, our human nature. This gives glory to God. But then also, we can give glory to God through our actions as well. So we should try to, since this is the reason that we're made, this is the reason we exist, we should try to find the very best way to give this glory to God, to show forth His goodness, right? For to show forth His goodness is to give Him glory. What is the very best way we can do this? We can look at the very last prayer that the priest says in the canon of the Mass to find an answer for this. He says, "Per ipsum et cum ipso et in ipso," through Him, with Him, and in Him. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory is given to God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. So all honor and glory are given to God through, with, and in Christ. This is how honor and glory are given to God. We're created to give this to Him, and this prayer tells us how this is done. It's done through Christ. At the end of this prayer, the altar servers are at this Mass today. The choir will express everyone's belief in this, everyone's consent. "So be it. I believe. Amen." The priest will say, "Promia saecula saeculorum," and everyone says, "Amen." We believe this as Catholics, that all honor and glory goes to God through, with, and in Christ. All. Not some or most, but all glory is to God through Christ Jesus. Now, if we think about the offertory of the Mass. At the offertory, the priest first takes the host and he offers it to God. He offers God this perfect, immaculate, spotless host. And then he turns and he goes to the side of the altar, takes the chalice with him. And when he gets there, the server presents with to him water and wine. Water and wine. But if you notice, they're not treated as equals. They're not treated the same. The priest will take the water and he'll pour a few ounces of water into the chalice. And then he hands it right back to the server. Before he takes the water, he blesses it. And why does he do this? Why does he bless the water but not the wine? The wine represents Christ. Certainly, he's not in need of a blessing. But the water, on the other hand, the water represents those present. The water represents us. And we certainly are in need of being purified. We certainly are in need of a blessing. And so he blesses the water, symbolizing us. And then the two are mixed. A few drops of water mixed with the wine, symbolizing that we are to be mixed with Christ, that our sacrifices are to be mixed with Christ's in this Mass. At a Requiem Mass, this point is further emphasized by the fact that all of the prayers are directed towards giving the most assistance possible to the person who is dead, the person who the Mass is being offered for. So at a funeral Mass or a Mass for the dead, all the prayers are directed towards him. And those which are exclusively meant for the people present are omitted. And one of those things which is omitted in the Requiem Mass is that blessing. We should focus on this then, on this mixing of the water with the wine. It's for us. It's showing us something. It's showing us that we are being taken and we're being placed in that chalice with Christ. We are to be offered with Christ to God. The priest takes the chalice, now with the wine, which is to become Christ's blood, mixed with that water, which has been dissolved into it completely, as we are to be dissolved completely into Christ, and is offering this sacrifice which is going to take place. Comes back and he offers it, and he says, "Offerimus tibi Domine, calicem salutaris." We offer unto you, O Lord, this chalice of salvation. When the priest offered the host, he did it in the singular. He said, "I." Now the priest stands in the place of the people, and so it's not as if he's excluding the congregation when he refers to the offering of the host as coming from himself. But here, when he offers the chalice, this is made explicit. This union of everybody in the sacrifice. He says, "We offer unto you, O Lord, this chalice of salvation." And at Solemn High Mass, the deacon who represents the people, who stands in the sanctuary for the people, assists the priest here. He doesn't assist the priest when he offers the host, but now he comes to the side of the priest, and as the priest offers the chalice to God, offers this sacrifice which is about to take place to God, the deacon stands there and he places his hand under the chalice as well. He touches the chalice with his fingers and he says this prayer along with the priest. "We offer unto you, O Lord, this chalice of salvation," emphasizing that it isn't just the priest offering this victim, which is Christ exclusively. No, it's everyone who is offering Christ and themselves, symbolized by that mixing of the water with the wine. We are offering ourselves to God completely. And so this sacrifice of the Mass should not be considered as a sacrifice exclusively of Christ's body and blood, but it's a sacrifice of Christ's body and blood in which we all are to be united. We all are to come. When he offers the chalice, the priest says, "Offerimus tibi Domine, calicem salutaris," the chalice of salvation. In the agony in the garden, when our Lord fully felt the weight of our sins, as a human who is being crushed by the weight of our sins, he asked the Father that if it be possible, this chalice would pass him by. This chalice of suffering. It must have been a tremendous, tremendous pain to have caused him to have gone, to have felt that. And then our Lord tells him that he does will it. God the Father does will that he bears this chalice. This precious chalice, purchased at the expense of so many tears and so much sorrow by our Lord, is the exact same chalice to be offered at this Mass. That is the chalice that's being offered. And we are being offered in that chalice with Christ. This chalice of suffering. This chalice of love. So let us unite ourselves. This is what we're supposed to do in the Mass. We're supposed to take our sufferings, take our sorrows, take our pains, take our joys, and place them into the chalice. At the offertory, we should make an act by which we place our very souls into this chalice with Christ. That's what we are to do, to unite ourselves to this victim and to offer ourselves with this victim to God. This is what happens, right? Christ is being offered for us to the Father, but we also are to offer ourselves to God through Christ, with Christ, in Christ. And this is done most perfectly right here in the Mass. This is how we give this great glory to God, by uniting ourselves to Christ, to this victim. And in doing this, this is how we fulfill that great call which God has created us for, which is to give Him honor and to give Him glory. There's no other way in which we can fulfill this greater than by coming to the Mass, by placing ourselves in this chalice, and by uniting ourselves to Christ. That which is imperfect in us is made perfect through Christ's blood. And so we put ourselves in that chalice with Christ, we offer ourselves to God the Father, and in this way, He is glorified. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.